We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In sixth place in the league.
Oh. It's the True Faith Podcast with me, Si Campbell, with Adam Widdrington, who's just given us an update on our league position. If you heard that at the start, and Benjamin Wade, recording immediately after the Newcastle United 3-3 draw with Manchester City at St James's Park. We would just want to get straight on with it. Such is the adrenaline, such has been this wild, wild afternoon of football. We wanted to crack straight on. There's so much to cover. I'm going to jump straight into it, lads. But obviously, I'm just going to put a quick shout out. We're on Patreon. For £8 a month, you can hear this part plus loads more. I'll say that no more times, and we're going to go straight on with it. First of all, Adam or Ben, in whichever order, the occasion itself. Now, I thought that this would be, it had the potential to be an absolute write-off. You know, we could have taken a battering on a Sunday afternoon, 4:30 kickoff, not my favourite kickoff time. I always assume the atmosphere is going to suffer for the fact that people have work on the Monday, that public transport is less available, et cetera, et cetera. It wasn't like that at all, was it? The stadium was rocking from start to finish. Adam, how was this afternoon for you?
Absolutely mind-blowing. That's one of the most exhilarating Premier League matches I've ever attended. It seemed to have everything, I think. I don't think it could be underestimated just how big a performance that was, like how symbolic I think that is of the progress made under the new owners. This is what Newcastle United are now. This isn't anomalous. This isn't the form since January on has been sustained over summer and now into this new season. And I think the performance today, the result today, the noise that we heard today is just, it just reaffirms where we are now, who we are now. And it's going to take so long to just still trying to readjust just how good we are now. And that is who we are. It's not, oh, we did well in that game, but we're probably going to go. We're just a really, really good football team who's well-drilled, who's well-conditioned, we're energetic, everyone knows what they're doing, and the way that the crowd can lift this side and this togetherness that we felt today, it was terrifying at times, it was exhilarating, it was thrilling, it was just, it just blew my mind. I was speechless a few times. I did shout a lot at the officials as well, but I think just guttural noises coming from me, limbs. It was just a magnificent event. It was an absolute privilege to be there today, to see just what this Newcastle United team are capable of, and know that this is a platform for where we could go as early as this season. It was simply superb. It was incredible from start to finish, and it's still taking a lot out of me to process everything that we've just seen. That so much has happened, and I guess we're going to do our very best to try and articulate that to our listeners. But I've had an unbelievable day, Si.
Yeah, I was nervous about recording now because I'm so emotionally drained, so exhausted from the excitement of the afternoon. I don't know if I can articulate, like you have very well, Adam, how good a day this was. And I was absolutely wrong about the atmosphere. My concerns about the Sunday afternoon kickoff were just absolutely wrong. I think Steve Bruce did that to me. Basically, if it was on a Sunday, the atmosphere wouldn't be very good. If it was on a Saturday afternoon, it wouldn't be very good. But I was I'm just harking back to a time that no longer exists. This was incredible. Ben, you with me in the pub beforehand from about 1 o'clock. We had a few beers. You were a bit nervous about the possible outcome of this game as well. But, I mean, did this fixture deliver everything you'd hoped for?
I mean, I would say understandably. I mean, they are ridiculously good and kind of showed that. But, yeah, I think, I mean, I won't say too much because Adam's pretty much summed everything up. But, yeah, it was just an incredible game to watch. It was just end to end. I mean, I'm just looking back at some of the stats now. I mean, it's saying we only had about 31% possession, but it did not feel like that. Like, it felt like it was a pretty kind of to and fro game and almost like a basketball game at times where it was kind of us attacking and them attacking. And it was just an absolute pure delight to just see that football. And it's funny you kind of mention predecessors. Like, so, some of the football we've had to kind of just bear, sort of grin and bear and kind of get through.
Yeah.
Pretty much in our whole lifetime. To then kind of see our team playing and going toe-to-toe with what's kind of universally accepted as one of the greatest teams of our generation around at the moment, like a world-class team. And we gave as good as we got today. And it was just unbelievable to watch that. As I say, a lot of these players, we've talked about it a lot, like a lot of these players have been with the club for a while. And if I suppose you would say kind of been wasted a little bit, some of the talent we've got. Because especially, I mean, you look at how Miggy and Maximan played today. And I think that's the big challenge for them, is it's the consistency, isn't it? But they've showed today, they gave Man City a run around at times and really created problems for them. And I think that's going to be the challenge for Howe, is how can he get those performances out of them consistently, because we didn't see that last week and that was kind of one of the criticisms we had. And but it just shows you kind of the level that the potential that this team has to perform at is we can go and give a pretty good account of ourselves against one of the greatest Premier League sides of all time, you would probably say. And it was just a privilege to watch. And yeah, as I say, I think Adam's pretty much summed up all the emotions, but it was just a class game. And as disappointed as we are to come away from a point, is saying something. At the same time, I'm just buzzing, like, still from that we've got to see, like, as good a game as we did.
And you're right, Ben, and it's not even just about the fact that we went toe-to-toe, it's how we went toe-to-toe. We didn't sit back, we didn't absorb, which I think most of us expected. It was open, it was frenetic, like you said, it was end-to-end stuff. It was, and not many teams, I don't think, can go and do that. And we did press a bit as well, in their box at times when they're kicking out from goal kicks. I don't think many people, many teams could have that kind of open game against Man City and survive in the way that we did. But I mean, this is Eddie Howe. Like, he makes our players fearless. The stamina that we have now because of his conditioning, because of the training that's been put over the last calendar year. And we just know that at St. James's Park, any team is beatable under Eddie Howe. Like, he has a plan for everything. He does his homework. He does his research. He's a complete footballing nerd. And I love him. I absolutely love him. And I love what he's done to this team. I love what he's done to the players. And the connection that he's created between what's happening on the pitch and the stands, which, as we all know, hasn't been there for so, so long. And I think, Ben, you make a really good point about that. What we need to do is be able to bring this kind of intensity, bring this level of performance to the Southamptons, to the West Hams, to the Villas, to the teams that aren't the big box office teams.
To the Brightons.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. There was a difference in performance between last week and this week. However, it's if we can get pumped up like this, if we can perform like this most weeks, and it doesn't have to be every week because that's not realistic. If we can get pumped up like this most weeks, certainly at home, then I honestly think we'll make Europe.
I was just going to say, I mean, just on that point, Adam, I think you can be pretty satisfied with the performances that we've had at home this season. I mean, that Forest, I know it's only two games, but Forest and the City games have been two of the best performances I've seen Newcastle put in a long time. We were so dominant at times in both games. Obviously, the Forest won more so, but it does fill you the confidence that we can kind of make St. James the fortress that it was kind of under the Robson years, where it was almost like a banker kind of 14 wins from home at least. And if we can get that, then that is your kind of your along that's going to take you into European contention. And as you say, then it's about nicking a few results away. And you're right, we can't expect them to play that kind of intensity and that well every week. But as we said at the time as well, I think we don't need to against teams. We're not going to be playing a Man City every week. So kind of a 70% or 80% of that performance should be good enough to beat most teams. So it's just really exciting, isn't it?
I think, whilst you're right, Ben, we weren't by any means at our best against Brighton. And you could argue it was a under-par performance from Eddie Howe's Newcastle from what we've come to expect. But Brighton have won their other two games. They're above us in the league. And that's looking more and more like a good result as time goes on. I expect Brighton will be in the top half coming the end of the season. And if you're taking a point off them, you've done a pretty good job. The two home performances, like you say, though, have been so encouraging. And I can't even believe, but I would say they were level up again from what we were getting last season. I thought the Nottingham Forest game was so mature in that we kept calm and we saw out of that game. And then we got the breakthrough when we got it. We didn't panic about the fact that we couldn't break them down. We just kept endeavouring and got the goal. Today, Man City took the lead, and instead of capitulating, we were like, nah, we're in this game. And we gave them as good as we got, back and forward. I mean, I experienced, lads, every possible emotion I could have done during the 90 minutes today. And I thought I'd lost that.
I did see him crying.
I thought I'd lost that. I thought Steve Bruce had seen had taken away some of that emotion from me. I thought I could never get that involved that into a single game of football as I did today. But it absolutely came flooding back. I mean, we'll cover some of the key moments before getting into a bit more detail on individual performances and certain situations. But I mean, the game couldn't have started worse, really, could it? Another Man City fixture, another goal within the first 5 minutes. And you just start thinking, oh, here we go, lads. it was Bernardo Silva, wasn't it, on the wing, who was giving Burn a bit of a tough time early doors. He was beating men. He was tricky. He was inside. He was cutting inside. And then he released an unbelievably good ball, which looked offside. Because the ball was so good, you just assume he must be offside. No one's in that much space in the box. It looks really bad defensively, but it was so perfect. And he Gundogan takes it down and scores within, I think it was the fourth minute. And we're just like, oh, here we fucking go, Adam.
Yeah, so I noticed in the first half, I mean, this is before and after the Gundogan goal, just how much space he kind of had, because I think because they're so good at passing through the lines, and when we'd sort of gone into them and pressed, it was obviously one of the dangers of the press that they just have the players who can pass it 20 yards through players and lands at the feet of Gundogan. I think it was him who then knocked it out. And I saw his run right into the box. And yeah, there was nobody following it. And it was a bit of an error. But for him to control that in the way that he did, it was a bit of an awkward one, the bounce. But I think it was maybe Botman trying to slide in at the end to try and stop it. But yeah, it was very poor. And I think, yeah, like you're right, Si, I think everyone at that point just thought, bloody hell. Like, I thought we were really going to give them a game. Is it all going to crumble from this point? But I guess to show the character that we did, that it didn't go that way, is just another achievement of the day, another thing to celebrate. We really, really battled out there and toughed it out.
It was a proper, like, three cheers to Gundogan moment, wasn't it? Like, you just got to appreciate it. I think Willock's actually is the closest kind of marker of him. Obviously, you'd think midfield, then you're right. I mean, it happened numerous times where their midfield, they're just so intelligent. They make runs kind of off the back of people's shoulders, kind of when they kind of blindside them. And it happened time and time again. And we kind of got away with it a couple of times as well. But I think that's kind of, that's a good thing in a way, in terms of it just kind of show, it's kind of a lesson, a hard lesson to learn, I suppose, in terms of you just can't switch off at any point. You've got to concentrate for the 90 minutes. And I think that'll be something that Eddie will be kind of hopefully pointing out to the players, to say, look, like, we've probably cost ourselves 3 points here because we switched off at certain key moments in that game. And I think it happened especially for the third goal, was quite a similar kind of situation. And I mean, you've got to give credit to them. It's world-class play. Like, not many teams can kind of deliver that ball time, that run, kind of everything that goes into it. But at the same time, you do feel, it just felt like, oh, that was so easy. Like, it felt avoidable as well. So I think there is things that we can work on and definitely kind of cut things like that out just by just staying alert and kind of being aware of that danger.
And that's the thing with Eddie Howe. He will learn from those mistakes. He'll obviously celebrate the performance, but you just know that his professionalism and his desire to keep improving this team and keep improving these players and keep improving himself, that he will critically analyze every single second of that 90 minutes all week, I think, because we know that we will learn from those mistakes. Previous times, previous managers, we might not have done that. Rafa, we would have. And I think under Eddie Howe, it's the same. He's obsessed with improvement, marginal gains. He will find out what went wrong and they'll make a point of working on it. And it's all part of this progression of this team and this development. And yeah, we know we've got the right man at the helm who's actually going to, you know, critically analyze in the right way, constructive criticism of his players while giving them a pat on the back and saying, you've done a bloody good job there. But also, let's do this next week. And that's really, really exciting to know that we're in really, really capable hands.
Yeah, absolutely. And play like that next week, by the way, we'll batter Wolves. We'll batter Wolves playing like that. Yeah, I think that said, it was a bit of a shock to the system, wasn't it? Because we got a corner within the first 20 seconds. You know, we started the game quite positively and got up the other end and got a corner. I don't think we did. We took it short. And that is a new thing that I'm having to be patient with, because I'm sure there's a reason for it, but we're taking a lot of short corners.
Well, they scored their second goal from a short corner.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So something to learn from.
Try and emulate them. That said, the crowd did not let that goal change anything. The players and the manager did not let that goal change anything. We continued in the exact same way. There wasn't any kind of, oh, shit the bed, we're going to have to do something different. It was like, no, we're going to continue to play our game. We're going to continue to challenge you. We're going to continue to press you. We're going to continue to do our thing. And that, you know, we will get something out of this game. And the crowd could see that. The crowd reacted in the exact way I'd expect it to in such a big occasion, Adam.
And it reminded me a little bit of Everton at home last season, where we did go goal down and we did not let that for us. I mean, we equalised within about a minute, 2 minutes there. So, slightly different here, but it was the way that we were resolute, that we didn't let that, we didn't lose our composure after conceding, which is, I mean, us as seasoned Newcastle fans are just used to over the course of many, many years of disappointing campaigns. But that character to say, like, let's not panic. Let's just play our game. Let's remember what we've done in training all week. Yeah. And we did not let that one goal rattle us. And instead, when we started banging them in at the other end, I think we did rattle them. And I think that they really, really didn't have an answer to just our general intensity. That first 45 minutes, I know, Ben, you mentioned on the instant reaction there, pod, straight after the stadium, coming out of the stadium, the intensity of that 45 minutes, how good a performance in that first 45 was. I was saying at half time to people around me, and you know, it's almost like we could lose this game 5-2 now. But I felt going into the game, because I didn't think that we'd even pick up a point today. I knew we'd give them a good game, and we did more than that, I think. But I think that 45 to be able to turn the game on its head against the best team in the league, in my opinion, it's almost like we didn't want that half to end. But at half time, I was saying to people around me, it's okay. Like, we've already shown what we can do. Like, you know, we've given a really, really good account of ourselves. We are not lying down. We know that whatever happens, it feels like we were always going to give our all. Like, we really, really did. The players give everything, and I think, as you know, as much as it was disappointing to concede a couple in the second half, I still think that was the case. I still think every player will have no regrets from today because of just how good and sustained the performance was today, not from the first half right through to the end, because it had to be. Because if we didn't sustain that performance, if we didn't sustain that concentration, we lose today. But we didn't. And even in the face of some shifty, sketchy officiating, we still managed to maintain our composure right throughout the game. But yeah, it's just, this is worlds apart from what we used to. This is class. This is absolutely, drink this up, everyone. This is honestly phenomenal. I love it. I love this feeling.
Yeah. We'll come back to the referee. Go on, Ben. Sorry. We will come back to the referee because there's some stuff to talk about there.
Oh, definitely. No, I was just going to say, though, as well, I mean, just further to that point, like, it takes some bottle as well from how to kind of say, like, we're just going to stick. I mean, a lot of managers probably go down that early, probably themselves a bit and think, fuck, like, right, batten down the hatches, lads, like, abandon all the plans that we've worked on all week. I know certain managers in our past would have...
Which one do you mean then? Which recent manager might you be talking about?
I said multiple managers, I think, would have done it.
Are they both called Steve?
possibly. But no, I think to have that, it's an element of confidence and bravery to kind of challenge Man City and say, do you know what, we're still going to play the way we want to play. And yes, you're like... with respect you, and obviously there was a lot of graft going in defensively, but to kind of leave as many players as we were forward, like Mickey and Max and Wilson were pretty much playing like up the pitch. I didn't notice them tracking back that much. I mean, obviously they were coming back a bit, but it was refreshing to kind of see us be brave and challenge City in that way. And it's probably a way that they're not challenged very often. And it kind of stopped Walker kind of being able to maraud down the wing and Cancelo. I mean, we've seen how good those two have been in the past kind of 18 months or so in terms of tearing teams apart, getting forward. I mean, Cancelo scored a worldie against us where he literally had the freedom of the pitch to kind of run 30 yards and then smash one in from like 20 yards. He didn't get that time today because he had to be wary of our threat going the other way. And it was. And I think as well, you can see kind of the work that had been going in because the runs that they were making were really intelligent. I mean, Miggy makes a great run for a chance where he rounded Edison and it didn't come to anything. But the run he makes is off the back of Wilson coming across the pitch and none of their defenders see it. No one goes with him and he just runs through. And it's like that they're not runs that we've really seen that front three do in the past. And it's you can see the work that's gone into it. The coaching staff are kind of developing every part of our game, and as you say, it's just really exciting. But I'm proud that they kind of stuck to their guns and gave as good an account of themselves as they did. Every man in that dressing room today, the coaching staff, the players, like everybody should be proud and excited about what more is to come because. Again, this is still very early days in this tenure in terms of the working relationship and stuff. And I said we've got a lot of players that have been here through a lot. I mean, we kind of talked a lot about the bench, like the kind of how weak the players are. But as we get better and grow the squad and kind of develop and individuals will get better in this, it's kind of the sky's the limit.
Trust is a massive word because you're right. The players trust each other. They start making runs because they know they might actually get a pass at the end of it. Players, you know, they just gave up when we were terrible. Players like Miggy stop making those runs. Maxi stops expecting to get the ball in good positions, but they're always expecting it now. Equally, at the other side of the pitch, trust is probably why what you said, Ben, that Miggy and St. Max probably didn't need to get back as much as you'd probably expect in this kind of fixture. Trust in the back four. Trust in Bruno and Joe Linton to boss that midfield. Like we did... in spells have perfect control of that game. Yes, Man City found ways through us because they're that good, but generally speaking, all of those lads could be trusted with controlling that game, with the ball, with the fact that Man City were doing exactly what we do. They were pressing us high, they were trying to shut us down. But, you know, Nick Pope was comfortable taking a touch, trusting a fullback, trusting Trippier to get the ball with only a second or two to make a decision about where to go next. And that it's so refreshing, a team of players that really do believe in each other and do trust each other. And to go back to take us into half time, we do need to talk about the two goals, but we deserved to be ahead. I didn't think at half time we'd been lucky. I felt like that 45 minutes collectively was the best we could give, and we deserved to go ahead. The crowd and the players combined, we were one huge force, and it culminated in two excellent goals. Adam?
But yeah, but even before, you remember that one that Almiron flashed over the bar as well when he leant back. Mm. Like that was, I think, the first good chance that we had in open play. And you think, oh, and I remember saying to people next, you know, cannot miss those. We're not going to get many chances like
we
that.
We were raging. Me and Si were absolutely raging that he'd missed, that he'd put that over. We're like, how the hell at this level do you do that? I didn't realize with Miggy.
Yeah,
good job. He bloody scored.
So very quickly, incident number one. Goal number one. So Maxi picks up the ball on the left. I think it's a long ball that Joe Linton jumps for. I'm not even sure if Joe Linton connects with the head, but he jumps for it. And it seems to go past them. So either he takes it off the Man City player's head and it flicks on, or it just goes past them both. Either way, Joe Linton does enough to get the ball to Maxi Mann, who gets it down, turns, runs 20 yards and cuts back and plays and just a perfect ball in to both, I want to say Wilson, but it might have been Willock and Miggy, who were both arriving at the same time in the six-yard box. What's weird about it is that where all three of us sit in the east stand or southeast corner, so it's quite hard for us to tell if there's an offside shout. We're literally at the beck and call of VAR in this situation. But I was just thinking, like, how could it be offside? Like, Maxi's kind of got there and cut back. If anything, the players are arriving behind him. It didn't feel like it could be offside. So I was quite optimistic when that went in that this could get turned over here, because the linesman throws this flag up and it's frustrating because you don't really get to celebrate properly. And then you stood around for 2 minutes because, annoyingly, I've seen it back now and it's clearly onside. How long it took them to decide that is a joke. Like, as soon as you say, oh, it's onside, ref, it's onside, give the goal. Like, it shouldn't take as long as it did. But it also, the suspense did kind of add to the moment, because the celebration we finally got to have for that goal was obscene. It was just like, it had taken half an hour from them scoring and us playing really well to get the goal. So it felt deserved. It felt massive. And it was like, you know what? We're in this fucking game. And just getting that goal and the players all going, having to stand and wait also, and then booming into the corner. It's just, what a moment.
And that it was Miggy as well, you know, after the whole Grealish comments and things. Obviously, he wasn't in the matchday squad at all. But it was just, I was so, so happy for him. And, you know, looking at the replay, I didn't realize, obviously, excellent work from Sam Maximan, who obviously he got man of the match today. He was absolutely excellent, but that cross was sublime. And the fact that it was, you know, it could have been Willock or Miggy that sort of made contact with it, the cross was that good. And it actually, Miggy sort of dives in and it sort of hits his thigh. So it kind of comes off at an awkward angle. There's no surprise that it was kind of difficult for Edison to kind of read or know what the hell was happening, because the ball was in the net before he even managed to sort of a flying diving thigh from Miggy is pretty unique. But yeah, like you say, as soon as that goal was actually given, because I think we all just thought, the flag's up, but no, it was a goal and we went absolutely ballistic. It was an incredible moment.
Just crap from the linesman though, isn't it? Like, it doesn't, at no point did it look offside. Watching the replay, if you're in line with that, putting your flag up there, it's just bottling it. It's like, oh, I better put it up just in case. It's not because he thinks it's offside, because how could he? Just really shite. And obviously, I'm very pleased that we have VAR on this occasion. But yeah, what a moment.
I definitely told the line, I sit quite close to the lines, but I definitely told him that he made a massive error on national TV. So that was enjoyable for me from a personal perspective.
Egg on his face.
You're absolutely right that also sitting with a big old egg on his face is Jack Grealish, as Miggy taught him a lesson on how to score in a Premier League game when you're playing for a good team. So yeah, unbelievable, but it got better. It got better just moments later, really. Maybe another 10 minutes or so. I've got no idea. The first half felt like a blur, but we definitely scored again quite soon after that one. Was it even
it was
better?
11 minutes in between the goals.
11 minutes so, like,
but the build up to this goal just showed me just how good a performance this was from Sam Maximan. It was more mature, it was more team focused. There was none of the flourishes that we're used to, but it was kind of, he used his technical ability in a really functional way that was purposeful. And I think once he realized it was just, do you know what it is? I'm causing them so many problems just running at these defenders. They could not handle it. And this is exactly how he kind of created the angle and the space for the second goal and to sort of drive and to the decision-making as well from Sam Maximan today. Sometimes last season, he's capable of the sublime and the ridiculous and magic. He can win a game on his own. He can create something out of nothing. We know these traits. It's about him working as a team, fitting in this team, being disciplined. And just a shout out, he had as many ball recoveries, joint most ball recoveries today, more so than any other Man City player. Like him and Miggy both had eight. They chased everything down. They won back possession, but his contribution, the way he fed Wilson, he released the ball at the right time, which he's not always done. And obviously, yeah, Wilson, I don't know if one of the other lads want to talk about that finish.
Yeah. Look, sorry, Ben. You're just talking about how that goal came about. So, yes, we've scored and we didn't just sort of go, oh, get in, we've got the goal, we're back in the game, ease off. We took that momentum and thought, you know what, we're going to stick this to them here. The strike while the iron's hot. We battered them for the last 50 minutes of that half. We really, really went for it. And you're right, Maxi's confidence was growing. Kyle Walker and John Stones did not know what to do with him. They had no idea how to handle Maximan. Every time he got the ball, he just ran towards them and they shit their pants. They literally shit themselves. And yeah, the reason Maxi's probably got so many ball recoveries is that we were playing the proper Eddie Howe football that we've been come to understand. We were pressing them high up the pitch. We were pushing them at fullback. You know, Maxi and Miggy both shutting them right down. Joe Linton right behind them, Bruno right behind them, Joe Willock right behind. You know, we weren't giving them a moment, and they were making mistakes and passing the ball basically to Newcastle players. It was coming to Maxi, and he's just nicking it, intercepting it. All of our midfield for a period there just kept getting the ball back, and Man City were, I wouldn't say they were hemmed in because they're still good, and even when they're in their own box, when they had the ball, they were quite good at passing it around and trying to get themselves out of trouble. But the pressure we were putting them under was forcing mistakes, even from world-class footballers. And yeah, we finally got the ball to Maximan, who again manages to just cut inside and leave Kyle Walker 10 yards behind him on the touchline. Kyle Walker's just like, what do I do now? Stones is just like, oh, don't send him my way. Like, he's just shitting himself. And you're right, he released the ball at the perfect time. And I think me and Ben at the time, like, oh no, he's chose the wrong ball there, because I think Miggy's overlapping just behind Wilson, but he goes to Wilson's feet and you think, oh, well, actually he's got Ake on him. He's not got much space. And again, I'm wrong. I should have just trusted Wilson as Maxi did, because the first touch is sublime. And then the second touch is even better, isn't it, Ben?
Incredible. I mean, what a finish. Like, I mean, I just loved everything about that goal. I mean, a long ball from Pope. And I think you said it before, it was clearly something we worked on, where the long ball to Joe Linton and it was Kyle Walker. And I think, I can't remember if that did happen on the first goal, but you said it did. So I'll trust you that you've seen it. And
I might have got the two mixed up.
But it's Joe Linton goes up and wins the header against Walker. And the fact that he's managing to get that on Walker and not Rodri. I mean, Rodri's quite a kind of a bit of a unit and would probably have maybe won the header or given a better battle, whereas he easily beats Walker. And it just leaves them so exposed. And Joe Linton winning that and kind of going and picking that battle flicks it on to Maximan. And you're right, it just gives him kind of the freedom of that pitch to just run it. Josh Stones, who she'll probably be going back to do another album after that, try another chance at another career, because football was not the one for her today. But he just absolutely tore him a new one. And I think it was Stones, I think, actually, that fouled Maxi, possibly for the Trippier free kick, I think we're trying to say before.
He did. He's just like a scissored tackle.
We were trying to remember earlier who wasn't that. I'm pretty sure it was that situation. Just every time Maxi got the ball in that position, you could see they didn't really know what to do, and he was so good. But yeah, the ball into Wilson, I mean, it's a great touch. I mean, we said, we were kind of like, oh, what is that? But the touch is brilliant, and then the finish straight away is so, like, he takes it so early. Edison doesn't have a chance to react.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because we were talking on the preview about, you know, might they play five at the back? And we expected them to, you know, soak up a lot of pressure and you know, spring on the counter-attack. But those counter-attacks are going to have to be really precise just to get anything. But it's really funny because actually we just got on their faces, as we said. And this direct approach that we ended up taking, where we just run at them. Like, Man City are used to completely dominating games. And yeah, possession-wise, they got close to 70% 70% possession today. But it's they might not be just used to this, you know, the fearlessness of our players. Just like, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you won the league last season. I'm going to run at you and make your life really, really difficult and see if you've got answers for the questions I've got, you know, going to throw at you. And they just couldn't handle Maxi. And this is like an all-match thing. And it's funny because when it was Bruce in charge, one of the only tactics was give it to Sam Maximan, he'll make something happen. Whereas actually, I kind of thought we needed to do that a little bit more when it kind of when, you know, after half time, got the second half, that we probably needed to give it to Sam Maximan more, because he really was causing them so many problems. Yeah. It wasn't Akia come off at that point for the Wilson goal. I do think it was Ruben Diaz.
Even better. And there it was. We've spoken for over half an hour, and we're only just at half time. So I'm going to take a quick break now. We'll be back for part two, and we're going to try and cover the rest of this incredible football match in one podcast. But it's starting to look like a trilogy at this point. Back shortly.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Part 2. Basically the second half of Newcastle versus Man City. We deservedly led at halftime, and you could have easily anticipated coming out in the second half and Man City, you know, coming right at us and us having to really dig in and try and see out this game and try and work for that result. But that's really, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, lads, but that's not how it played out. We continued to give as good as we got. Man City had some chances. It was such an open end-to-end thriller of a football match that we were partaking in. Even at 2-1 up, it wasn't like, shit, we better get 10 men behind the ball and see if we can hang on. It was like, you know what, let's just keep playing, let's see what we can do, let's keep doing what we're doing, let's get Maxi on the ball, let's get, you know, we were having corners, we were getting up in behind them. I think I don't know who had a chance not long after half time, but it got swept by pass for a corner. But, you know, it just wasn't the second half I was expecting. Very, very. My memory is already eroding of this traumatic and emotional day. Speaking of emotions, by the way, actually, yeah. So far we've had, before the game, anticipation, excitement, dread after 5 minutes, elation once we've scored. At 2-1, I'm thinking, get in, we've won this game. And then what happens next? We get the next goal. And honestly, in terms of the gamut of emotions, I went to, we've won the league, lads. Like when that free kick goes in, I am thinking we are the best fucking football team in this country. So let's talk about Kieran Trippier, because yeah, I can't remember some of the instances before that. We were very good. Go on, again,
it was Sam Maximan, and he's just driving at them. And I mean, Stones is all over the place. Cal Walker can't handle him. And he's obviously like driving diagonally as he does, sort of towards this, you know, centrally. And you think, well, what's he going to do here? Is either going to lay it off out wide for maybe Almiron or Trippier, whoever was there, or maybe he was going to have a bit of an attempt on shot, which sometimes he's managed to do. But I think it's always going to be difficult against an Edison, perhaps, to actually make that happen. So in a way, it was kind of better that Stones completely wiped him out, fully justified the other card for him. But it just showed the panic. It just showed the panic that we were absolutely rattled them. And this is, after, like you say, it would be the fact that it was after halftime, the fact that we'd still managed to sustain it. Because you worry about halftime killing that momentum that we had. It was all us. But, I mean, just before Trippier took it, I was... I started like a little chant in the gear and trip. Yeah. Oh, the wall. A few of us just, you know, having a little. And then, yeah, Ben, do you want to wear?
Well, I was just going to say, it's interesting. You say the word panic there. I'm pretty sure it was at this point where I think it's Diaz had to go over, or Diaz, is it Diaz? I don't know how you say it. Ruben Diaz. But he had to, like, I could see him actually like shouting at Stones, like kicking off with him. I think he was like trying to say, like, get your fucking shit together, son. Like, we're going to get absolutely hammered here if you do not sort your life out. And he kind of did afterwards, unfortunately. But he did look rattled, and he was having a nightmare. And I'm sure it was Diaz. He got like literally had to go over and literally like grab him and say, "Fucking sort it out, son." But yeah, the free kick. I don't think I've seen a ball struck any sweeter. Like to whip it into like the side net, and I mean it's. It reminds us of like the penalties Van Nistelrooy used to take, where like when he who was like in his top form, like would just they were unsavable because he's literally like curling them inside the post. Where it's like what you meant to do. I mean, this is I said it before as well. This is Ederson, like the best keeper in the league, in my opinion, anyway. And it takes something special to beat him on his side as well. And it was just such a sweetly hit free kick. Like that is one of the best free kicks I've seen taken at St. James's. Such a sweet hit. And I kind of didn't celebrate it. I was just like in a bit of shock. Like, I was like, fucking hell. Like what a hit.
Sorry, Ben. I was exactly the same. I was just saying to Simon before we went on air. I was like, I just stood up, put my hands on top of my head and just my jaw dropped. I could not believe what was happening. And I just, the moment, like the way the ball just sort of like, as you said, side of the netting, and then just the ball ended up with the other side of the goal because it just sort of like wonderfully just like curved around where the net was. He rolls around the back of the net. But that moment where every single Newcastle player just sprints towards Strawberry Court, it was just what a moment. And just the crestfallen silhouettes of Man City defenders. It was just a delicious moment.
Yeah, it probably came too early on reflection because there was so much of the game.
All right, Steve.
I thought we'd win it. And yeah, the players all sliding on their knees towards the corner and just it just felt like, my God, what a moment. And he's just hit the postage stamp. Like Ben, it is the most perfectly hit free kick from where it was. And funnily enough, Nick Pope saved a very similar shot in the first half. I can't remember who takes the free kick for them, but might have been De Bruyne. And Pope has to make a similar save to his right-hand side and makes a very good save. But Edison's not saving that. There's no chance. It's on his side as well, by the way. The wall's set up to the left, and Edison's in the right-hand side of his goal, but he's still not saving it because it's so high and so into the side net, and it's just perfect. It's probably the only place he can hit that free kick and score, and he does. And yes, again, just an obscene moment. Obscene. We've seen three already in this one football match. Three obscene moments. There's more to come, by the way, because there's some ridiculous stuff still to come by this young referee from Australia. But I thought we'd won the game at that time, and that was probably naive of me. And again, I'm not going to say that that the players got naive or the players got too confident. Man City then just did what they do and found two bits of absolute quality to get themselves back in the game. I don't think there's anyone in our team you can really blame for their two goals. If you really want to be nitpicky, you can say that Haaland, someone should be marking him. I don't know if it's Dan Byrne that's on him from a corner?
I think it was Botman.
Maybe Botman.
I just think with the Haaland thing, obviously the ball had sort of been whipped in. It was a bit of the back post bouncing around. And I think you've got to applaud, you know, three cheers for Haaland, Ben. You've got to applaud Haaland's anticipation there, just being in the right place at the right time. That's why he's world class. That's why he's so coveted. And he absolutely, he's not going to miss from there. He smashes it in kind of like a little bit from almost the same distance as Miggy. Maybe Miggy was a few yards slightly out, but almost from similar position. But the quality of that left foot that he has is just incredible. And then obviously 4 minutes later, So that was on the hour. 4 minutes later, we're all level. And what you were saying earlier about the ball from Bernardo Silva for Gundogan's goal in the first 5 minutes, the ball is so good, you think it must be offside. Well, the same thing happened, I think, for their third. When De Bruyne just fed him from a central position, doesn't go out wide, just plays this almost like a 90.
Megs Willick.
Straight ball through. And then Bernardo Silva's read it. And then, you know, his touch and finish are, that, you know, it's world class. You think you're looking at the lines being that must be offside. That was more of a shout of offside than Miggy's was, but it wasn't. It's just De Bruyne is very, very good at those three balls. Silva's very, very good at reading that.
It's an outrageous ball to even think it's a straight ball pretty much into the box where you think the keeper's just going to come and claim that. Like to be able to play it at the pace kind of for him to judge it, that it doesn't overrun it. It's perfectly in his feet where he takes a touch, I think, but like it's just such a good ball. Like you can't criticize anyone because it's like that is literally, he is the best player in the league, in my opinion. And it's like, That's what you're paying the big bucks for. Like, there's not many. I don't think there's anybody else in the league can play that ball with the weight and the pace of it that he played it. And it's just too good. And it as I say, I mean, it catches, I think, Willick out. It makes him like he's probably not even thinking like that's an outrageous ball if he plays it. And Pope's going to get that anyway, like playing that ball that straight through. But it's just so well played. You just got to kind of doff your cap. But it's just like. Again, though, like at 3-3, you think, there's still 25 minutes, half an hour to go, or whatever. There's a long, long time in this game to go. Are we going to be able to sit out? But the most pleasing thing was we didn't kind of go into our shell and kind of shut down. I think we probably were a little bit more kind of defensive and kind of defensively structured at that point, but we still carried that threat with Maxi. And I think that's when it was kind of around that time that Wood came on for Wilson and kind of we started to make the subs and. I think that was kind of the point where we maybe lost a little bit in terms of our kind of threat, but we still carried a bit of warm.
I wouldn't say we got more defensive. I think we just burnt us. We were so exhausted. We put everything into this, and like you say, Wilson apparently his hamstring had felt a bit funny, so they got him off a bit earlier. Chris Wood hasn't really impacted the game if they've put him on, and he's ran around a bit, but. You're right. We started to look a bit tired. Longstaff's then brought on to kind of shore up the midfield, and I think we're happy with our lot at that point. I don't think we stopped trying, but we were tired. We could not keep up that intensity against Manchester City for another 20-25 minutes. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I felt like there was almost like a recognition of, well, yeah, your squad is so much better than ours, and it was almost there was a feeling of consolidation because after they scored two goals in like 4 minutes. I think the whole stadium was a bit worried that now they're turning it on. They just another one and the game's done. Kind of, it did seem to. It felt like there was a shift, wasn't there? But I think obviously I think something that kind of disrupted that dominance was this possible red card that wasn't.
True. If the red card had stood, by the way, I think we'd probably gone to lose the game. Man City were really coming at us then, but yeah, just that I was just thinking of that De Bruyne ball because it's just running through my head like how is that possible? But you remember when they first introduced like the through ball on FIFA, like the early versions of FIFA, and it almost the ball like a magnet goes to the player
it's like a cheat
because it just wasn't fair. That's what it looked like nobody else was allowed to get that ball. It doesn't go to the keeper, it doesn't go to the defender. It just magnetizes to the
ball moves. Silver.
Yeah, it like, just
like, hang on a minute.
It defies all physics, but yeah, it was an obscene through ball and an obscene goal. But yes, moments later, Man City are coming at us again because they were piling on the pressure. They have the luxury of obviously bringing on world class players off the bench, not Chris Wood and Jacob Murphy. So they were getting stronger as we were getting weaker. And a run of the mill halfway line cynical, you might call it, foul from Kieran Trippier just to break up the play, take a yellow card, jog back, let them have a free kick. But no, this Australian lad, what's the referee called? Gillett,
Jared Gillett, I think.
Gillett, just out of nowhere. No one's expecting it. No one. No Man City players are calling for a red card. No one's expecting it. He just whips out the red card.
I think De Bruyne was.
De Bruyne is kicking off saying that's, you kind of, like, you know, as you do. But he just whips out the red card. And I think even the Man City players are like, whoa, red card. And then the whole stadium's just like, eh.
And I think for me, this is a good point to sort of mention. What I think was a huge disparity in the distribution of yellow cards between the two sides. Now, you look at the foul on Saint-Maximin that led to the Trippier free kick that went in. That was a cynical, sort of scissory kind of tackle. Nowhere near the ball. That's right outside the box as well, by the way. So it's just a real goal-scoring opportunity. Completely wipes him out. That's a yellow card. I don't think anyone had any complaints, yellow card. Trippier does it on the halfway line to De Bruyne, and he's suddenly brought out a red card. And I think I was apoplectic in the stands when watching that, because I was very, very acutely aware of how much we were getting punished for our tackles, and comparatively they weren't getting punished in the same way for the same kinds of fouls. And this one was just like the Stones one yellow card, which was obviously a lot more dangerous and close to goal. And this was on the halfway line. Yes, he stopped a counter-attack. Yeah, it was cynical, a bit like the Bruno one early doors as well. But the fact that after 19 minutes, it was 19 minutes when the crowd were first chanting, "You're not fit to referee."
Yeah.
And it's almost like, yeah, that might have been a bit pantomime. We might have just been a home bias. But actually, I think the performance up to that point just reaffirmed how right that was, because that call was terrible. He had to go over to the VAR right next to me. He had to go over and look at the VAR TV. And obviously, he's rescinded it. And just making himself look completely stupid to a point. I almost would have had more respect for him if he stuck to his guns. But the fact that he just sort of, and it's just like, well, what the hell are you doing? He just loses control of this game. It was just stupid.
We thought, to be honest, like, I genuinely think, like, he was getting wound up by the crowd. Like, because, as you say, Adam, the yellow cards, like, we were getting yellow cards for silly little tackles that were like, eh. But then when they would do the same things, he'd just let it go. And it was really...
Yeah, not even a free kick.
I thought it was really odd. There was a couple of tackles on Maxi. There was a couple of tackles from Walker that I thought were, like, surely, given what he'd already booked for, like, how are they not getting anything? And he was letting a lot of their stuff go. But I mean,
I do wonder. It's like when the crowd is literally calling the referee a wanker, if that makes him deliberately stop giving decisions, because it really felt like he was reacting to that. Maybe I'm being a little.
I'll show you.
Yeah,
but I think the fixture was too big for him. I don't think he handled the occasion at all. This was a match with global appeal, genuine global appeal. It's a huge narrative behind it, huge context behind it. And, you know, we can't forget Cher getting hit on the head in the penalty box in the first half, which hasn't seemed to make a lot of the headline reels. But again, that's another genuine penalty shout against Man City at home that wasn't given, that probably should have been given. And I actually think, you know, the officials, I genuinely think, was awful. You've got to remember the linesman stuck his offside flag up for that Miggy one as well. I kind of think that the very, very poor refereeing decisions in the first, you know, those first 20 minutes actually riled up. It created the atmosphere today. It actually helped us in a way. We harnessed that anger and aggression and frustration, and it just got the crowd all up, and we were just like, come on. And it started to get like tribal. And I think it was almost like we have him to thank for how, you know, vociferous the crowd was today. It was, the atmosphere was like ridiculous. So just a little stupid one. My mother's got an app on her phone, right, which sort of, I don't know why she's got this, which it sort of records decibel levels. And she claims after Callum Wilson's goal, right, on the second goal, the decibel levels in that stadium apparently hit around 117, which is almost comparable to a jet plane taking off. But it just kind of shows you that the noise today was just sustained from start to finish. And I genuinely think the poor refereeing sort of fueled that to certainly in that first half, but then also after the whole red card debacle, it just kind of gave us an extra bit of come on, let's get it. We really, really wanted it, and delighted that it was just a yellow card in the end.
It's definitely a common theme, isn't it? That a refereeing kind of the injustice of a bad referee decision, like, just always, and it always seems to be in the big games. Like, it's happened in numerous Man U games and other games in the past where like a referee makes a rubbish decision early on and it gets the whole crowd up and it just changes the atmosphere. And there's nowhere better than St. James's Park with a riled up crowd over a crap referee decision. Like it's it just sets us up. And to be honest, part of us like wishes like every ref would like just give like a crap decision from like the kickoff, just so it gets the crowd into it, and then we're properly starting it, and then it becomes kind of like a hostile atmosphere. It's class.
But in the past, it would be we're taking it out on the referee because our lads are playing shit, and sort yeah, of. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But actually, the terrible refereeing combined with our really really good performance was almost like an injustice. Well, you're stopping us from winning this match, and it was like the penalty shout, the offside goal that was onside, and then the red card that wasn't as well. That for me, that feels like too many mistakes in such a high stakes game. In supposedly the best league in the world, I would be very very surprised if the league aren't looking at this performance and addressing it accordingly, because it just wasn't acceptable. It wasn't good enough, and I'd really like to think that's not going to happen again.
You're right, though. I think I'm in a perverse way. It has enhanced the atmosphere. It's probably enhanced our performance because it was very much us against the world. I'd completely forgotten about the pen shot, because you're right, if you watch any highlights packages, it doesn't get a mention. Now, obviously, I haven't seen Match of the Day. Maybe Match of the Day covers it. They sometimes cover stuff like this after they've shown the highlights, but it's a pen. I don't even know who goes up because I haven't seen it back, but shares up, and I think it might be Diaz again, or maybe Stones, I'm not sure. It doesn't get the ball. The Man City defender doesn't get the ball. He wipes out Cher in the process. It's inside the box. It's in the exact same place in the box at the Leeds' end that Ryan Fraser was fouled last year. It's just you couldn't make it up. We absolutely should have had a pen. So I'm starting to think we're really hard done by not to win this game, lads. But you're right. Maybe that contributed to the atmosphere. Maybe that spurred us on for some of the other stuff. So overall, let's not dwell on that too much. But yeah, I think you're right, Ben. If they can just give a niggly foul away every 10, 15 minutes in all future fixtures, but maybe not something that not something too spectacular like pen decisions, but yeah, something that pisses us off just to keep that volatile atmosphere. I think that's probably a good shout. I'm happy to bribe a ref to just give a few shite decisions against us to keep that going. Lads, anything more you want to cover? Because we're coming to the end of the show, but Adam, I think you wanted to give our goalkeeper a quick bit of praise.
I do. I thought Nick Pope was excellent today. And yeah, a few of his kicks weren't quite as, maybe a few nervy kicks throughout the game, but I don't want that to overshadow just the command he had in his box today. You know, those last 10 minutes, really nervy. They swung a few balls in looking for Haaland, and he just was there. His decision making come to claim, and he claimed a couple in the last few minutes, and it was just, I had so much confidence in him to be able to quell that threat, and you know, he claims it, and it's just, I stood up and punched the air a couple of times when he did that, because it was so important for him to do that. And also the way that he comes off his line really really quickly, I've noticed, and being able to make a couple of good saves. He did it in the first half, and then the second half when Haaland muscled in between Botman and Cher, and you think, and Pope was there, and because Pope's frame is so big, he's massive, he just smothers the ball he makes a really good save, and he also denied Gundogan, I think, in that second half, right at the death, and Gundogan's got his hands on his head because he's like, nearly. But so I just want to say, Nick Pope, absolutely spectacular performance today. Really, really. And you know, it's difficult getting used to a new goalkeeper, a new number one, but I do have confidence in him. I think he's only going to get better at this point. And he really, really showed us, you know, why we went for him in summer. He's been a really, really good addition to the first team.
I hope Southgate was watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your number one right there. If you want a chance of winning this World Cup in Qatar, Gareth, get that man in, because the other little man.
No ego. At least it's a job done.
At least two one-on-ones he's saved as well. I think De Bruyne got through first half, and then Haaland had one late in the second half, I think at 3-3 as well. So that a chance to win them the game. And Pope just come out so fast, covered his angle so well. When Haaland gets put through, you just think, oh, fuck, goal. Don't you? You just think, shit, we're done.
Because you already hit the post, didn't you? Yeah. Obviously, as well. So he was getting close. You felt Pope, like he was going to get another.
So fast off his line, so quick to shut that down. All Haaland could do is kick it at him and hope he gets lucky and it goes through the keeper. Sometimes it does, but because there's nowhere else to shoot. It's not like there was a way around him, or he got out so fast. So yeah, Nick Pope, excellent. Maximan, fair enough, man of the match, but you could pick a handful of our players and say that was an outstanding performance.
1 to 11 were incredible. Like, yeah. I thought they've got to beat it. As I say, they go toe-to-toe with Man City like they did. Like, everybody was fantastic. All were players were superb.
All of them were superb. You're right, Ben. I think that's probably great to round off the show. It's probably a bit too soon to digest that and think, where do we go from here? Because I'm just so...
Champions League, at least.
So buzzed, yeah, like... All of our preseason predictions that we've been making over the summer and worrying about whether or not we can compete with your kind of Leicesters, your Wolveses, your West Hams, your Man United, all in the bottom five, by the way. can we compete with these teams? And actually, no, it's Man City that we're going toe-to-toe with. So it's really, really encouraging. Obviously, lots more work to do. We could probably still do with a few players in, because as soon as we lose a couple of these brilliant, brilliant lads to injury, we might get exposed a bit. But my God, that was just something else. And I cannot wait to see this team perform again. So thank you very much, Adam. Thank you very much, Ben. It's been an absolute pleasure. The fact that we're up after 10 o'clock after a game, so exhausted, so emotionally drained, and still able to buzz for a good hour and beam about that game says it all. It's been an absolutely class occasion. Thank you so much for listening to the True Faith podcast. This has been the Manchester City post-match podcast.